Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Well, welcome to VFN Radio. I am Pat Hamilton, and with me in the studio is Chris. Tell me, how was your weekend?
Weekend went pretty good. We actually had a birthday party for Emma this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was her 12th birthday party, and it was actually ended up being pretty exciting.
Oh, really? What happened?
It was a memorable moment. We had a party at a skating rink, and all of a sudden, this lady comes over the microphone, and she's like, "There is a possum in the skating rink. Do not be afraid."
Are you serious? This a possum?
A possum had
fallen, a real life possum.
A real life possum had fallen out of the ceiling.
Yeah,
but it landed in this some kind of a drape they had draped across the skating rink.
Yeah,
and so it was stuck up there, so it wasn't like on the floor or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so then all of a sudden, it was probably a while later, the police show up to come get this possum.
Oh, my God. They called the police?
Yeah. Why not animal control? But anyways, yeah, they called the police. The police came out there and captured this possum and discarded it.
All right. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So,
oh my God.
And I got it on video.
Are you serious?
Yeah. We were ready for this thing to start, running all over the place when they dropped it down out of this drapery. But they were able to box it up pretty quick.
So nobody was hurt.
Nobody was hurt, but Emma was like, "I will never forget this birthday."
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's something? Well, good John,
morning,
welcome,
good
welcome.
Good morning.
Glad that you'd be here with us.
Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. My name is John Rables. I'll be hosting today for Greg Lancaster.
Wait.
And as we know, it's Pat and Chris.
Yes.
Good morning. Well, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Oh, fantastic. I wanted to give out some shout-outs this morning. Oh, my goodness. I know that, Najina, you're such an encourager. I wanted to give a shout-out to Cindy and to Kevin down there in Lakeland. And Jonathan, I saw you with the hammer, bro. He's doing a good job out there with you.
He is, man. He loves tearing up stuff. I said, all right, we got to build things now. We can't just tear things up.
You got to build something. You know, in my writing time this morning, guys, I was just praying and just enjoying God. And I was reminded of this scripture in Psalms 100, verse 4. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise."
Mm-hmm.
Give thanks to him and praise his name. And it's like, man, we have so much to be thankful for in America.
Amen to that. Man,
we live in such a blessed land. You know, sometimes you wonder, taught some people's like, I can't pray, it's 5 minutes and I'm done. 5 minutes and I'm done. I said, listen, I've got the perfect solution for that.
Yeah.
Start off your prayer time just by thanking God.
Yeah.
Just by thanking God.
Mm-hmm.
You there's a whole hour right there.
I know, that's right.
It's not all a lot of time long or anything like that, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, when you just start thinking about everything that the Lord has done, how he's touched you in your own personal life, what he's done for your family, what he's done, for your brothers and for your sisters and all the many different ways how he's touched your body and what he's saved you from and what he took you out of. Just like, God, you are so good. And you recount all the ways that God has been there and has rescued you.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I needed some rescue.
Man, many, many times I need a rescue. And he did every time.
Like, isn't that amazing? It's like, God, you are so good. In fact, why don't we just live the rest of our life as an awesome thank you?
Mm.
I mean, really, as an awesome thank you.
Mm.
And that's something that we need to develop more is an attitude of gratitude, an attitude that says, God,
mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
I'm just so thankful.
Yeah,
we spend a lot of times, I think, worrying about what we don't have instead of just praising God for what we do have.
Right.
We're getting ready to get close, believe it or not. I mean, right around the corner is going to be Thanksgiving.
I know, just a couple weeks, right?
Just a couple weeks. It's a wonderful time for us just to really just to start thinking and meditating ahead of time. ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, you always wonder, like, wait a minute, you have nothing to be thankful for? Like, you can start right now making your list for Thanksgiving dinner. You can start now.
Right.
On what are you going to start thanking God for?
But like you said, I mean, every day we should live that way.
Absolutely.
You know, why do we wait one time a year and then all of a sudden, oh, let's thank God for this and that and the other. And, mm-hmm, you know, we should live that. That should be just an amen.
Thank
to
you.
To how we live our life every single day.
Right. And, well, the Absolutely. Word tells us to be thankful in all circumstances.
That's right. Good yeah. or bad.
That's right.
In fact, yeah, that's in Thessalonians 5:18.
Right.
It says, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this, this right now, what you're going through, for this, yeah, you know, is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know,
that's
God
right.
makes a way out of everything, but, it, you know, it's an attitude that he tells us to have. Be joyful always.
That's right. Absolutely.
Always.
All
right?
the time.
Pray continually. That's like without ceasing, you know, and living a lifestyle of just prayer. And all prayer is just talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Anybody can pray, right?
That's right.
Because if you know how to talk, you know how to pray.
That's right.
All prayer is just talking to the Lord and give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And give thanks. And it's amazing how that attitude of gratitude, that overwhelming feeling of God, you're just so good, to start just rising up on the inside of you. And it's like, Lord, thank you. There's a lot of people out there today, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that are suffering, they're going through a lot of things, and your situation may be rough and it's difficult, but there's always somebody.
Yeah.
Always somebody
mm-hmm.
that's having a little bit worse.
Absolutely.
You know, and mm-hmm. I have found myself whenever I see I'm about to get down, I said, wait a minute. Five
yeah.
fingers on each hand.
Right.
Five toes on each feet. Still alive.
Yeah.
I'm saying, not losing any weight here. Not losing any weight. Still full. Belly still growing.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? Got a place to live. I think we're doing good. I think we're doing good. When there's people that go to bed hungry. I believe it's like a third of the world goes to bed with a growling stomach.
Wow.
And you think about all of the food that we have in America, the food that we actually throw away, and the choice foods that we rather eat.
Right.
And I'll tell you, if we're not being grateful for what we do have, we're going to be surprised at the stuff that's going to be taken away because we just didn't give thanks and
we weren't thankful.
Honor the Lord.
That's right.
And there's nothing like a kid who just doesn't like it. You ever had a kid during Christmas or a birthday who's like, what? You're complaining?
right.
You know, you're
yeah. Or they open this gift and they're like all excited for a second and then they chunk it and they're off yeah. to the next one.
Well, I didn't want that one.
Yeah.
I didn't want that one.
Yeah. Or they turn their nose up or make a face. I was like, make me want to slap.
Sounds like some adults I know. Wait a minute.
I know. I've seen an adult like that. Oh my gosh. You have too.
Oh, yes.
It was horrific.
Okay. No,
I was so embarrassed.
Yes.
But you know, that's the whole thing. I mean, we don't want to live in that state. We don't want to be in that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to pull back and say, wait a minute, God, you know, thankful for what I do have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're about to, you know, unless we cry out, unless we turn our hearts, unless we're headed for some serious times,
mm-hmm.
we're headed for some times that are going to test men's souls, if you will. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. We live in a blessed land. We have friends that have ministered all over the world. I mean, now with the internet, I mean, you can Google and go anywhere and see the tragedy of what's happening all across the world.
Mm-hmm.
All across the world.
That's right.
And so we're blessed. And I think that's a good thing for us to meditate on today in particular, but to really keep in our focus as we just keep going on with God and our relationship. Is not to, this is what one of the Ten Commandments, by the way, is we talk about this, you know, I've talked about this a lot, I guess, but I just think it's so important because we can just get so caught up in thinking, you know, oh, woe is me.
Right.
Woe is me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, it's hard to say woe is me in America. I mean, it's just very, very hard to say what we don't have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When other people in the world are doing with so much less.
Right.
You know, so I tell you, attitude of gratitude, joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Let me tell you, God has a plan. He has a way. He'll pull you through it. Mm-hmm. But if you start praising God in the midst of your storm, if you start praising God in the midst of what is happening and believing that God will pull you through and don't get down in the dumps, let me tell you, God will pull you through this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Remember, Chris, this too shall pass?
This too shall pass. I lived off of that for a long time. Still do.
This too shall
pass. But every now
pass.
We get a Selah.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God will bring us through. Well, guys, it is one day away.
No.
So we vote. One day.
Yeah.
It's like finally here. It's the time that we get to exercise
mm-hmm.
one of our you know greatest constitutional rights.
Exactly.
Is to choose and to select those that we are going to have represent us in our form of government. We have a republic. We're sending representatives to D.C., to our state capital, to represent us.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my goodness, this is great. You know, we have a chance as believers to change the course of this nation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have this opportunity that many people have given their lives. And if we don't go back and we don't remember, if we don't go back and have this heart of gratitude, if we don't go back and think about how blessed we have it here in this country.
I know.
And I talk about it often. I mean, listen, you can gauge the value of a great nation by how many people are trying to get on in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. There's people crawling all over fences, under tunnels.
Yeah.
Just to be in America. Just to be in America.
Right.
You don't see that happening in other countries.
Oh, no, I don't.
And so we don't want to take that for granted. And I want to have some numbers today, and I don't have them, but maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. But, you know, of eligible voters, how many voters actually vote in the elections?
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that for many years, it's always been a relatively low amount.
Pretty small number, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That actually get the chance, you know, actually exercise this right. In fact, it was reported that a 89-year-old woman in Florida was actually voting in her first election.
89 years old.
89 years old.
Wow.
And so, I mean, thank God she's voting.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the amendments in the Constitution actually made provision for women to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And
think
so
about it, she probably lived during that time.
Absolutely.
In the early 1900s.
And think about it. So this is her first election. And mm-hmm. so we don't actually, she's 99. I say 89, she's 99 in Florida.
Oh, 99. Well, she definitely
99. Think about that. Like, well, she's been around for a while. It's like, okay, this is a good time to vote. Let me tell you, if you've never voted, this is a good time to start.
Mm-hmm.
This election is a good time. So we don't want to, another thing I want to talk about is that we don't want to allow the media. I mean, right now, if you're listening to the media, I mean, they're going to, it's amazing. One side is saying, we're up. The other side is saying, no, we're up. And probably the truth is somewhere in the middle. They're probably dead even mm-hmm. tie right now.
Yeah.
And you don't want to listen to what the media is saying and kind of throw in the towel and say, well, I'm just not going to vote for this person just because. And mm-hmm. it's leaning this way or leaning that way. Don't, you know, I would caution you not to do that. I'd caution you to go ahead and go vote. Cast your vote. Mm-hmm. Cast your vote. And vote your values. I mean, it really comes down to this moment. You think about when Bush and Gore were running, George Bush W. and Al Gore were running mm-hmm. for office. I mean, it's like they were counting chads in Florida. They were counting.
I know, that's ridiculous.
By hand.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a few hundred votes that separated the presidency of all the millions of votes cast. Just a couple of hundred of all the, you know, billions of dollars that were spent. And this election has seen a great, great amount of money being spent. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. They're vying for your vote. They're vying for you to be able to put them into office. They're interviewing. And it's time for us to make that decision. And so we can actually turn the course of a nation. And the other thing we want to talk about, too, is that, you know, there's no salvation in any political party. There's no salvation in any particular man except mm-hmm. the man, Christ Jesus, fully God, fully man.
Right.
And so we're not, you know, trying to lift up any candidate, but we want to vote our values. And something we've been talking for a long time here on VFN Radio that, you know, God's not left wing or right wing. He's for the whole bird. He doesn't ride the backs of camels and donkeys, but he comes to take over. And as believers, we should be value-based voters.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'd like to do is go back to a segment that we aired not too long ago. I thought was so good. It was Dr. King's niece, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece, Alveda King. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome lady. Oh, my goodness.
Awesome woman of God. And awesome. She basically is going to help us and share some wisdom in regards to voting our values. Listen up.
From choosing the next leader who will either send our sons and daughters to war or to keep them from war,
mm-hmm.
who will make decisions on our tax dollars decreasing, taxes decreasing or taxes increasing. People say, mm-hmm. well, taxes are not a biblical issue. Well, that's go back and okay, that's right. Only 20% are reading.
You don't read your Bible, but, you don't know.
Yeah, yeah. If you read it, read your Bible, it's about taxes. Taxes mm-hmm. about, you know, God said when you choose a king over his form of government, over Samuel, he said he will tax you a lot of money and take your best of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so taxes have always been an issue in regards to, are we going to trust God with him leading us personally and providing for us? And then the government, the original tenet of America, is to protect our borders and protect commerce, our ability to trade. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But much more than that, and now it's into everything, and so it's got, people are looking to replace God with government.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at some statistics, and I don't have them in front of me, but it predominantly says this: most of the world, except for America, believes that success is something that just happens. That there's nothing you can do with it. It just like It just happens to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that the government's job is to eliminate any struggle, any difficulty, to just guarantee you a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Most of the world.
Is that like in Europe, too, that's happening?
Everywhere. Right. Everywhere. Now, America's the only unique country in the context of that because... There's only right now. There's only 30% that are believing that way. Used to be hardly any at all, but now like 30% or so. And we'll get these for you. Probably talk to you about them on Monday more. But just understanding that we are making a decision for our based on our values, about what's valuable to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the unique thing about America was and is that we are government by and for the people, that the government, the leaders, they are us who goes and serves us under us for a period of time, and they mm-hmm. defend the Constitution that we wrote and we uphold from enemies foreign and domestic. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's not about a theocracy. It's not about a dictatorship. It's not about a king. It's somebody we allowed to be there for 8 years or... Depending on how many years, some people have been there a long time. And the longer you're there, all of a sudden government becomes more of a bigger thing. And if we did have term limitations, although you may suffer, you're thinking we're about to lose a good man or a good woman, at least, you know, if a bad thing happens, it will only be there for a short period of time.
Yeah, right.
It won't
right.
stay on, and it forces us to have a dependency on God. And term limits make sense to a people who understands America's government. Is by the people and for the people, that we are we are America, different than other countries in the context of that. And so we're choosing for who's going to be the next president of the United States and next governors and congressmen, the presidential races and school boards. And across the board, it's amazing. The only thing I could say, as we talked about on Monday, I believe, there's a clear choice being put before us. John, what is the name of that segment that about this? We're on Mount Carmel, and God has put everything before us as a people, and we have a clear choice.
I'll have that for you here in a minute.
But here we are right now. Our values, you know, what's valuable to us? If God is valuable to us, and that God's ways are valuable to us, we're called value-based voters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, we believe that every man needs Jesus. We believe that, you know, men are flawed. We also believe that it's not a theocracy in America, that, you know, a As long as they're abide by the Constitution, which includes the First Amendment, and they defend it and protect it, then that allows the church, and we won't think about it, we want to be able to vote our values. And one particular way to look at it is to remember that we want to be able to vote for the ones that allow us to do everything God's called us to do and to preach the gospel freely, to be the church and to preach the gospel freely. That's a value base. Not somebody that's coming and repressing the church and trying to snuff out the First Amendment or change it or telling you that some other God is God and you got to follow just our God. I mean, that they're coming against that.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's called Party's Over. It's time to vote values.
Yeah, it's time to vote values. You got to check that out because America's at the point. A clear choice is put before us. And speaking of that, you know, Dr. Avita King, she is being interviewed here, and she has a great understanding of that and understanding about it's about values. It's not about people, and it's not about parties. Listen up.
Right, but I think it'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, many Christian leaders are campaigning hard this election year, but they're not pushing a specific candidate. Instead, they're supporting values by urging Christian voters to rely on biblical principles when they cast their ballot. Ephraim Graham has that story.
With only weeks until the 2012 presidential election, a familiar name in politics is on a last-minute campaign push.
He's talking about the importance of voting.
But Dr. Alveda King, niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., is not supporting a specific candidate or party.
The party's over. This is not party time. Mm-hmm. This is serious time because, you know, America needs to be fixed. And there's a desire in my heart to see that. And so I say to people, when you look at a ballot, vote for the absolute best candidate on the ballot.
And for King, that candidate is the one who most reflects biblical principles. That's her message to voters during this Vote His Principles rally.
We can vote our values or we can vote God's principles. And God's principles are just so very clear. And that actually should transcend a political party.
King isn't alone.
They say opposition to same-sex marriage is the same as opposition to interracial marriage. That is an insult to human intelligence. It is a lie. No Christian should support this.
Bishop E.W. Jackson takes his message to black church leaders, challenging them to resist what he calls blind loyalties.
It's not about race, it's about righteousness. It's not about party, it's about principle. It's about voting in a way that will please God. That's what the ultimate goal ought to be.
A guide to achieving that goal can be found in a new book called How Should Christians Vote? Its author is Tony Evans, pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church in Dallas, Texas.
If God is involved in government and God is the author of government and God determines what is good and what is evil, then he should be consulted on all issues.
Before voting, Evans encourages Christian voters to get out a sheet of paper, write down an issue of concern in one column, where Democrats stand in the next column, then where Republicans stand. And finally, what God says about the issue.
You vote for the party, the platform, the candidate, or the policies that closest reflects the values of the kingdom of God.
And Evans is quick to point out, God is neither Democrat nor Republican.
He's the consummate independent because he only votes for himself. And he doesn't ride the backs of donkeys or elephants. So the great tragedy today is that we've reduced him to partisan politics rather than, from a Christian perspective, recognizing he's his own king with his own kingdom, and he makes his judgments based on how consistent people are with his rule.
And Pastor Evans says God's rule should rule how Christians vote.
Nothing wrong with voting values. It's one of the three legitimate influences that can motivate anyone in going into the polls.
Regent University's Dr. Charles Dunn says the bottom line is everyone votes values, whether they vote party loyalty, a specific issue, or candidate.
We all vote values. We vote economic values. We vote social values. We vote religious values.
Ephraim Graham, CBN News.
It's so important to think about that. I was an interview on CBN News with Pat Robinson, but Dr. King, she made it so clear. Tony Evans, and it's about values. It's beautiful. It couldn't be said any better. And we're going to make that available to you on the VFN torch. But understanding that, then you got to find out what people's values are.
Right.
You can't just say, okay, I'm going to vote values, and we can say, hey, values is money to me.
No, right.
We're talking about what God says. They did it, said it so well. And with that, you know, think about, we're going to make available to you on the same post on the VFN torch, Florida Family Policy Council, that has, and you may find it, it will also lead you to others as well. There's Family Research Council. There's other ones out there that helps you find out how people stand on issues. And what I like about what John Stenberger's done with the Florida Family Policy Council is he's just put down where people stand and asked them questions. You know, where do you stand on this value? Where do you stand on this value? And he publishes them, whatever they said.
Right.
And now we make the choice. We just say, is that my value? Is this not my value? And I like the way they said, make a list of what this person stands for, make a list of what God says about it, and then decide.
Mm-hmm.
And they clumped it together in the context of a party. But, you know, when it gets to local politics, you need to find out and meet the people. Some people attach themselves like Velcro to a party, you know, thinking that because they identify with a party, that they have right value system.
Right. And it's not even just our values, too, but it's really, what's God's values? You want to take yourself out of the equation. If your values, you may find that your values contradict maybe what the Word of God says. So it's not necessarily voting your values, but you're necessarily voting the way God.
Well, I'm sorry. That's what I thought I was saying. That. That's true. He's right. Make sure that's exactly what John's saying. That, you know, God says Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's running for office and says he's not the Son of God, despite what anybody else does in your country,
mm-hmm.
voting your value would be, well, I'm not going to vote for that person.
That's right.
He just denied what's valuable to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he says, you know, that the government needs to control people's lives, and the other one says, you know, people need to submit themselves to God and allow God to lead them, and the government needs to stick to defending the Constitution of the United States,
mm-hmm.
then as a believer, you would say, oh, yeah, that's my value system, and you'd vote the way that would follow God.
Mm-hmm.
If one particular candidate or party says we don't believe in the sanctity of life, and that at any time a mother chooses to, or a father of a child can abort or kill that child in the womb, and the other one says I think that life begins at birth,
mm-hmm.
that's a value. But God, we value life. God's value is life.
All right.
And mm-hmm. he would call that murder. It's innocent blood. And so we would vote for a candidate that values life. So we're talking values, like John says. We're not talking about what's valuable to you, because, you know, if 97% of the church is robbing God, what they're mm-hmm. saying is money's valuable. So that's people right. vote their wallets thinking they're voting their values,
mm-hmm.
and what they're really voting for is their job and more mm-hmm. money to be able yeah. to rob, you know, so God could bless them so they could rob God. That's yeah. we're not talking right. about that at all. And so when I think about what I talk about John Stenberger did is that he also looks at the judges. And the judges, most people just go, yes, 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 yes to all these judges. But understand, we have activist judges who are not interpreting the law, but they're actually making law from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And so he puts down the pros and cons as well on these judges. So you can, that's hard to do. I mean, you got to basically sit before a judge for a long, long period of time
mm-hmm.
to see how he or she rules on issues. Mm-hmm. And so he puts down how they ruled on these issues.
Right.
And when you see, you know, one particular judge, for example, here, that how they ruled on abortion. You can see how mm-hmm. the judge themselves, you know, ruled on abortion. Mm-hmm. And, for example, minors' right to abortion. The court struck down a law requiring parents to be notified before a minor child could have an abortion. The Florida Supreme Court struck down a law requiring parents to be notified before their child. You understand, they have to notify you before their child takes an aspirin.
Wow.
But these judges I'm about to tell you right now agree with a strike down, that you can strike it down.
Mm.
And so he says, it says there's three judges right here, and they all agree with the decision to strike it down. They agreed with it. So you need to know, these three judges just said your child can go kill that baby in their womb, and they don't have to tell you.
Mm.
And these judges did it.
Wow.
And so you can actually look and say, that's a value of mine. First of all, my children are valuable, and I don't want some school nurse deciding what my child's going to have to live with the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As you told them, it was not even a life, and now they have to live with it down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they were stood with that particular decision. So you can find out. That's some good work when you think about it, the different mm-hmm. verdicts on how they ruled. And so you can find that, you know, and we'll make that available to you on the VFN Torch, and you can get to it at this particular segment, which can't tell you what it is yet. That maybe a little bit later on we'll tell you what it is. But you can find it today's highlights are on the VFN Torch as well.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding then we're going to have to make, and it's a real, these are long amendments. I don't know about your state, but I know Florida has two legal page size ballots, and you read them and they sound, I mean, you really got to connect all the thoughts. You got to say, okay, hold on to that thought from that sentence, connected to this one, because eventually you're going to be taxed somewhere.
Yeah.
You're going to be bound somewhere, or your freedoms are going to be denied somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he has also is pros and cons for each of those amendments as well to get you thinking. And this wow. is the dilemma with a republic, America. You got to think. You got to get involved in the process.
Right.
If you don't get involved in the process, and that's pretty much what's happened to America, you know, after turning our backs away from God, is that we just said, well, you just do the work for me and you let me know.
Right.
And republics do not work like that. That's mm-hmm. called, you need a king or a dictator to do that. And a democracy doesn't even work like that per se, because a democracy is going to, the government are going to, a democratic government, not democracy, a democratic government, they're just going to get 51% of the people to go the way they want to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as you can see, it's real easy, no matter what, to get 51% of the people. That's how Hitler got in place,
mm-hmm.
you know, through a democratic form of government. It never ends well with a democratic form of government. This is a word that the Lord gave me, because you're going to have to make decisions in about 18 days, a few days away. I encourage you to be abiding with God. Make sure your ballot gets in. Vote. Most conservatives, many conservatives, 33 million conservatives or something, don't even register to vote, something like that. But this is a statement, I believe, is a word of knowledge for me, and maybe it'll help you out. We should vote for those to be in authority, which will give us, our society, let me say this again, we should vote for those to be in authority, which will give us, as a society, the most conducive environment to being able to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, a king can get in power and not even know God, but he can fund the rebuilding of the temple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nehemiah's day, right?
Yeah, sure right. did.
And so when you're voting, obviously you're not voting for a leader of your church.
Right.
You know, and you're not voting for the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
But you're voting, you want to vote, think about it, and your value is the most free, your value, what's valuable to us as Christians are a form of authority in government that allows us to freely follow Jesus Christ, to preach the kingdom of God, and whatever that is. Don't feel guilty about, you know, making a choice for the best choice in the context of someone getting an authority in your society that's conducive for being able to spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter anywhere in the world. Everybody's not going to receive Jesus. Everybody's not right. going to. Everybody's not going to be a Christian. But
right.
God will give favor to the church with people, and certain people.
Right.
And so think about that in the context of that. At the same time, you know, make it clear that you're not voting for their God.
Right.
Mm.
That America is not a theocracy, and that means, for example, Iran's a theocracy, even though they're. President Ahmadinejad is a president. He's actually under their
Ayatollah,
and he serves at their leisure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so that's a theocracy. The Muslim Brotherhood, it's a theocracy. They believe that the Quran is Allah. Everybody should be under Allah. That the Quran is the legal system
mm-hmm.
that you should operate by. And so that's a theocracy. You look at Israel. Israel was originally a theocracy, but now it's a democracy, that they have a republic form of government, and but God will bring them back to a theocracy.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, we are a republic form of government, which is a representative form of democracy. The Electoral College is so important. Most don't understand it, but think about it as fair representation. If you have, you know, think the Vice President Biden, he comes from Delaware. When you look at Delaware, Delaware is a state amongst the 50 states, but it's a very small state.
Mm-hmm.
But it sure makes a big boast, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Right.
But that and credit cards.
Yeah, and so, yes, exactly. But one small state now is having these exorbitant credit card companies go there and have their, and it's a long story. So if we did not have the Electoral College, then a small state like Delaware or Rhode Island or something of that nature, which is a state and legitimately fair representation, then they could determine where 90% of the population goes to. But with an Electoral College, you only have so many representatives that come as members of your party into the Electoral College. So if you are coming from a small state, you're only going to have a couple people. And so they're going to have so many electoral votes to be able to win. People say, what does that mean? It means that based on just like your Congress is chosen, based on population, which means that's the most fairest present measure of your representation is Congress. That's why we want things to go to Congress, because there'll be more people from your community who you ask to be leadership there. That's going to look at that thing that's coming to your state, and they have to answer directly to the people. You get the Senate. The Senate has two senators from every state. What does that mean? That means Rhode Island has two.
Right.
But it also means California has two.
That's right.
It means Delaware has two. I mean, North Dakota, what, they got a million four people or something like that?
If that's something like that, yeah.
And so they have two senators. But when you have... 14 million in Florida?
Population?
Yeah, something like that.
I
forget what it is. But think of the difference. So they get two senators, and you get two senators. Somebody says, why do you want to go to the Congress with it, the House of Representatives? Because you want a fairer depiction of what's going to go on. You can get over here, and we're having more problems with senators right now because they're trying to – they actually passed the health care bill, I believe. I have to check on this. In the Senate first, and then send it to Congress.
It wouldn't surprise me.
And you see where that doesn't work. It should have come out of Congress and gone to the Senate because the people would have represented it more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why it's easier to get something done in the Senate. And I think it's just totally, anyway, it's all kind of crazy. So the Electoral College is chosen the same way. Then you have the numbers. John, you can find all the numbers on there. But the I think it's 270 total electoral votes or whatever. But that represents whatever it is. It represents your population.
Mm.
What does that mean? That means Delaware cannot flip this nation with their small population, North Dakota. So North Dakota, for example, that California has more members of the Electoral College than South Dakota has.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's more people in California than there is in South Dakota. Somebody says, well, do away with the Electoral College. What they're wanting to do away with is a republic, a representative government, because it's based on population.
Right.
So we don't need 400 people in the state determining what's going on. They need to be properly represented, but they're only part of America. I mean, most of the states are so, I mean, you think about it, the number of abortions that's taken place in America, you could write off 50%. If you took the number of abortions that happened, And for every abortion, you eliminate a citizen in our country. Half of our nation would go away. That's how
50 million. 50 million.
50
abortions.
Million. But that's half of our well, not half, but
of the state's population. If you took 50 states, from the smallest all the way up, that would represent 50 million people. Think about it, it's half the country.
Right. And so with that, that we understand that this Electoral College is a good thing. It prevents people from Rhode Island, for example, from pushing this election any way other than the masses of the people, where the majority of the people would want it to go. When you hear Congress, and we've talked about this, and you go to Original 10 for America, Congress, the idea of Congress is a good thing because it represents the population of your state. So you have representative government. Somebody says, well, we don't have fair representation in Congress. Yes, you do. You just happen to chose a particular state that has lesser population in it, but you have just as much representation as that particular part of the population has in Florida, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want Congress to mull things over. We want them to look at stuff. We want them to come back and answer to us. And it needs to go through Congress first before it goes to Senate, because that is the greater representation of what's going on. And so when you're talking about the Electoral College, and we'll just make that available to you on the post, all the details on it, they have to get so many, I think it's 270 votes they have to get to the Electoral College to be able to become president.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's 270 representatives from the population in America. It's very, very important. And you'll notice, he only gets three electoral votes out of this state. And people go, well, that state means nothing. No, it means exactly the same thing that your state with 20 in it. It's just that many Americans are in that state.
Mm.
So the Americans are being represented by the Electoral College.
Yeah.
Not your state, but in the national elections, Americans are being represented. And if you want a bigger state representation, then go to a bigger state. You're never going to have more in Congress than you have population, unless we change it, which they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're voting, you need to vote for people that have your same value system in Congress, in Senate, in the presidency. Understand that this next president, for example, whoever the next one, will probably appoint two Supreme Court justices. Your governors, your state, and your representatives in your state, your school board. But find out what their values are. When you vote godly values that we're talking about, and the direction of our nation will be determined by this next vote. It's one of the biggest votes I think ever coming up. My concern is where God's people are at this particular time is not necessarily good, but God's very merciful. It's amazing the things that he does. And if he finds somebody who will stand in the gap and say, hey, you know, we will do what's right, then he may relent. He may change his plans.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so it's representative government.
When you think about it, there's 19 mil- the population of Florida is 19 million. They have 27 electoral college votes.
Right.
And then in like Delaware, they have three.
Exactly. And that's important to understand when you're watching these results come in. Understand that's exact representation of the population of Americans, not mm-hmm. South Dakotians or not Floridians, not Californians. It's a national election. Mm-hmm. That's right. Really
like
cool.
Like California has 55. Obviously, it's a larger state. It has more population.
Right. And so we want to participate. We want to build relationships with our congressmen, our state congressmen, and our federal congressmen, that we actually know what they're doing.
Right.
And read their newsletters and write them and expect replies. And if you get a general reply, give them a general vote next time.
That's good.
Because they're supposed to answer to you, and they're not having to answer to you. And right now the Congress needs to answer to all the people that they represent, not just the money interests in that particular district, not just the people that are getting the most out of their leadership. Every citizen in that particular district is represented by that congressperson.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's okay for you to walk in their office and not be intimidated. It's representative government and to say, what are you doing?
Right. Mm-hmm. And the population of North Dakota, according to the census, is 683,000 people.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yet they have two in the Senate. As you know, then you have Florida that has 19 million, a population of 19 million.
Exactly. And so this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. You don't want South Dakota determining 600,000 people determining where 300 million are going to go.
Exactly.
Mm. So don't let anybody talk to you and get rid of the Electoral College.
We'll be right back after these messages.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you're running after things, man, and not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, He is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life. But you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God. Which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time at a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats.
to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me is Pat and Chris. Oh, my goodness. What an amazing segment.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, this is so important, especially, you know, just this election. And you hear that often every time, you know, this election. But really, this election is so, so, so important. And if you go to VFNTV.com and you go to the Torch, VFN Torch, you're going to find that there are several segments and highlights that you'll be able to go to that you can be encouraged, and you can see all the stuff that was shared. For instance, if you go to the Dr. Alveda King segment, and we're going to give you a title for that in this program, you're going to be able to go and look at all the different resources as well as voter guides that are going to be very, very helpful in looking. For instance, the Family Research Action.
Mm-hmm.
They have different issues that both candidates either oppose or support. Mm-hmm. And you want to take a look at this prior to voting. You don't want to go into the voting booth blind, if you will. You want to look at your sample ballot. But these are some issues. For instance, you know, tax, if you want to find out how they've what their position is on taxpayer funding of abortion, mm-hmm. well, you can take a look at that. Government funding of Planned Parenthood, you can look at that as well. Taxpayer funding on human embryonic stem cell research. ban on human cloning, parental choice in education. These are things that are so important. State marriage amendments, as opposed to the federal government determining what is the state of the marriage.
Right.
Your defense marriage act. You have the appointment of judges. That is so important. That is so important. You want a judge is going to be one who interprets the Constitution, or one who is very, very conservative in how they view the Constitution.
Right.
I mean, these things are really, really important when it comes to voting and selecting, you know, our representatives. And now we're actually voting for the president of the United States as well. I mean, this is the big one.
That's
religious
right.
liberty, military, social engineering, all of these issues are very, very important. And you can see that they're on the torch when you go to the voter guide. Because there are different resources there that are available to you. For instance, you can see in related content, and you want to search for Dr. Alveda King. Dr. Alveda King. We're having kind of some computer issues on this end, but we'll get
right.
the full title for you on of that segment. But it's a Family Research Council's is related content. You have the Florida Supreme Court Justice Voter Guide. That's important. You have a Christian's Voters Guide. What's really neat about this Christian Voters Guide, I believe the Wall Builders puts this together, Pat,
mm-hmm.
is that you can go state by state, and you click on the state that you live in,
mm-hmm.
and once you click on that state, you'll have a wide variety of information. For instance, you'll have the Christian Coalition. You'll see your district. You'll see Family Research Council. You'll see who are your current folks that are in office at this moment,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be able to look up how exactly they feel on all these issues. What do they support? Do they oppose?
Mm-hmm.
This is so good because
right.
this way you can be informed. This way you can know in terms of voting and voting our values and voting what's important. Just know that it's important that we pray.
Mm-hmm.
Important that we get educated.
Right.
Important that we actually share it with. Our friends and our neighbors and our families. Do you know how many times that happens? That you know, some people just decide they're not going to vote,
mm-hmm.
and then you can take people to the polling stations. You can help the elderly get a chance to vote. You know, we know relatives that are older in age and they're not actually able to get there. Maybe you can think about this. You know, you say, well, I'm just one vote. How does that make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about you know, is there any elderly in your family that you can take?
Right.
Is there anyone that maybe doesn't necessarily has a ride or not able to go and vote?
Mm-hmm.
You can do that now. In fact, I believe you still can do some early voting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So very, very important. When we get back in the extra hour, we have so much to talk about and so much to share. We're going to be talking about hurricane relief. We're going to be talking about the top three on the torch. And we're also going to be sharing wisdom moments. Well, we look forward to seeing you in the extra hour. We'll be right back.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.